Bienvenue and welcome to Akeem's Dream Show. My name is Akeem the Dream, also known as Brown Sugar Supreme, also known as The Dark Knight Batman. I'm Batman. This show is a variety show because I had a lot of ideas growing up and wrote them down, and my curiosity is insatiable. And you'll notice that I have a lot of random ideas and subjects, but I think that's what makes it fun. Variety is the spice of life, and I like to keep it spicy, and you will find that out very quickly. Remember, folks, never grow old with no stories to tell. And it's finally time to spice things up. Let's go.
Check this out.
A few things I want to talk about on this episode. It's a bit of a variety show. I've done this a few times. Just going to talk about what's going on in the 780 to 587. You know how it goes. Yeah, to the 11. 711. Oh, thank heaven. But what do we got today? We got a few things to chat about, a variety show. And just for the archives, Arkizzle, just want to let them know was what I've been up to on the second and third week of July in the year of our Lord 2023. First thing you should know is that I wiped out pretty hard last week. I got a longboard for my birthday last year. It was my own birthday gift to myself, which I highly recommend everyone does. If you have a birthday, you should be getting yourself a birthday gift to moi. Okay? Because let's keep it real. Nobody gets you what you actually want. If everyone got you what you actually wanted for your birthday, you wouldn't have to spend a single dime ever. Last year, everyone got me nice stuff, but I really wanted a longboard. I've wanted to be a good skateboarder since I was a kid because I grew up in the 90s, right? Tony Hawk, pro skater, everyone's at the park doing flips, doing tricks. I've always admired skateboarders. They seem to be some of the toughest people in society to have that persistence and that determination. Like, I would just go to the skate park and watch them to do a kickflip, and the kid would miss it literally 50 to 100 times and just continue to try to do the goddamn kickflip, and then eventually, boom. And it's not just like they miss it 50 times. It's like they're wiping out, breaking their wrist, scratching their leg, whatever. They just get back on the board. I've always admired that, so in my old age, when I turned 30, 31, I was like, you know what? I need to get a longboard. I'm not going to be doing tricks, but I will be cruising. You know what I mean? So I went cruising down one of these city park paths. Lately, what I've been doing is I just drive around the city. And if I seen a path that I like, I'll drive back there and then take out the old land yacht, the old summer cruiser, and I'll hit the trails. So I'm going down this trail, right? And the thing with the longboard is, compared to a bike or anything else, is once your feet are planted on that thing and you start going downhill and gravity takes over, you're in God's hands. Yeah, you become a Christian or a Buddhist or whatever in that moment, because really the only way to get off that board is by bailing. And when you're bailing, I mean, you're going at 20, 30, 40, maybe not 40, but you're cooking, right? You get a ticket in a school zone for sure. The speed I was going at, I would have got a ticket, number one, for being too fine, but number two, for just wiping out at speeds that were unknown for city bike paths and walking paths. So I'm going down this hill and I passed this lady and her friend walking a dog, and I just realized I'm accelerating. Like, I'm just accelerating, and I'm like, shit, this is about to go down. I'm about to wipe out pretty seriously here. And you start fishtailing. You know when you go in your car and you push it like on the highway to about 170, 180 kilometers an hour, all of a sudden you start fishtailing. You can feel the chassis in the vehicle is starting to vibrate. It cannot handle the speed. It's like if you put your hands outside the window, you might take flight. That's how fast you're going. That's how fast I felt like I was going. And all of a sudden, I just felt it wobbling to the point where I was like, okay, I need to find grass. Because if I hit the asphalt going at this speed, I'm not going to have my delicious skin and luscious lips anymore. I'm gonna look like I got hit with gamma rays. So I decide to bail, jump out, hit for the grass, and wipe out. And I actually wipe out pretty decently. So you must be thinking, oh, the story's kind of boring. He just makes it fine. But you'd be mistaken. See, I get back on my skateboard, and you'd think I'd learn from my mistakes. You'd be mistaken. I go down the road a little bit further, and I find another path that has a little bit of a decline, not too dangerous. I'm like, this is a piece of cake. Cut it, and just Bob's your uncle. Get me the check. I'll get the GTFO, right? So I'm going down this path, hitting these curves, and all of a sudden I go, boom. I'm like, oh, shit. I turn the corner, and it's a cliff. And it's a cliff I didn't foresee coming. There was no heads up on this trail. It was like almost like God wanted me to wipe out here or something. It was divine intervention to wipe out. Anyways, I turned the corner, hit this decline, and I just eat shit super hard. And this time I actually like bust my elbow up and scrape myself pretty good on my knee on the way to the grass, because I had to actually jump off the board this time. I was in the middle of the sidewalk, so I had to clear the asphalt. I had to jump. It looked like Free Willy in 93, just making my way across this asphalt to the grass. I had my AirPods in. Now, because this is Apple, of course, nothing that they sell can be below $150, $200. These AirPods are $255 or $300 full retail. They're the second generation AirPods. One of my favorite products, right? They just fit in your ear perfectly. I don't know how they got the specs for this design for these AirPods to be universally fitting every person's ear out there. Like, they must have got 1,000 models of people's ear and then just designed it to fit every single one. I've never understood that, because it's not customized. But yet, I've never heard of it falling out of somebody's ear unless you wipe out at a skateboard going 40 kilometers an hour down a city path. Then it might bump out. I hit the fucking bricks on this one. I bumped up, hit my elbow, like I said, busted my... I got winded because I landed straight on my solar plexus. And one of the AirPods stood in. The other one bounced out, and I was like, fuck. And I was standing there, and it was probably like 9 o'clock, so... The mosquitoes in this city, my God, right? They're coming after you. They're so aggressive. Bro, I'm fishing around in this swampy grass for my AirPod, and I'm getting eaten alive. I probably haven't been attacked like that since I was 12 years old. I probably got, no joke, 25 to 30 mosquito bites because I kept pacing and looking into the grass with no bug spray on, right? And I couldn't keep moving, right? When you're skateboarding, it's fine because they can't land on you when you're going at a decent speed. But when you're like pacing and walking around, standing, looking in spots, you just get attacked. I probably lost about a half a pint of blood. No cap. It was pretty bad. So anyways, lost my one AirPod, go back to the truck, go back after last light. I probably put like half a cup of bug spray on my legs and my face and shit, and couldn't find it. So lost an AirPod after wiping out. No problem. As if that wasn't bad enough, I turn on my Instagram the next day and I get polluted by whatever the algorithm wants to feed me that day, only to see, to my horror, the news from the World Health Organization that aspartame, the main ingredient, artificial sweetener in the Diet Pepsis and Diet Cokes of the world, has been found to cause cancer in large enough doses. Effectively, they've been doing research for the last 20, 30 years to see if there's a link between artificial sweeteners and cancer. And I guess now they have evidence that shows that that is the case. And it's stressed me out because I've only just started drinking Diet Pepsis, like as of 6 months ago. So forgive me if you're not a big Diet Pepsi fan or if you think less of me. Honestly, I could give a fuck. Because I waited till I was 31, 32 to start drinking Diet Pepsi or Diet Colas at all. And I worked at Pepsi. So if anybody should be drinking Diet Pepsis, it's me. And for whatever reason, I just never got on the train. But working where I work, for whatever reason, it just landed on my desk and it was a cold one. It was one of those cold days, one of those cold DPs. And she slithered down there like a freaking lollipop, I'll tell you what. Anyways, ever since that day, like maybe four, five, 6 months ago, I've just been, you know, one every day, one every other day. I just didn't want to become a full addict until last week when I bought a 36-pack. Which is why it's funny with the timing. As soon as I buy a 36-pack of DPs from Costco, the news comes out the next week that they could cause cancer. And I'm like, WTF, WHO. What the fuck is going on here? What does a guy have to do to just get a little fucking break? And then I did a little bit of digging in it, and I found out that if you've been drinking 8 to 12 of these a day for the last 10 years, then you might be at risk. Because that's enough aspartame to maybe cause the cells to do their thing, right? But if you've drank, I've maybe drank, no word of a lie, in my entire life, maybe 50 Diet Pepsis or Colas, maybe 100. Let's be conservative here. Maybe 100 Diet Pepsis or Colas. That's just me saying I haven't drank really pop ever. So I think I'm good. I think I'm in the clear. If I was to have one every other day for the rest of my life, I think I'm good. The initial stress was this, you know, it just pisses me off how, and I kind of get it because these Bloomberg Business and all these other news outlets, they have to make money. So the headlines have to be so salacious. Aspartame has been determined by the WHO to be possibly carcinogenic. Like, why couldn't you just say potentially unhealthy? You have to say carcinogenic. Not like I'm fucking sucking up my mouth to the exhaust of my car and letting it fill my lungs up for a few minutes. That's carcinogenic. But apparently Diet Pepsi and wrapping your mouth around the end of a car exhaust is the same thing to the WHO. And of course it's not, but they have to get your attention and be like, oh my God. So you end up talking about it on a podcast and wasting time. The next day, sitting in the office, my colleague goes, whoa, what the fuck is going on? I look outside and I feel like we're at the beginning of Exodus when God just starts sending down frogs and flies from the sky, because I looked outside and it was a literal swarm of probably 10,000 bees. Well, we thought it was wasps at the beginning, but I had never seen it. And you have to understand, we're on 124th Street and some Ave. We're in the city, like we're in the urban jungle, concrete. We look outside, it's like a parking lot where a lot of people walk and traverse every day. And we just see literally 5,000-10,000 bees out there, wasps. We weren't close enough to distinguish, but potentially deadly. Like, enough of those bees or wasps to attack a human could definitely kill a human. And it's interesting. You ever had this phenomenon happen where you look at something, hear something, or learn something, and then a day or two later, it pops up or it presents itself to you in another form? Like, I'll listen to something on the radio or hear something on a podcast and then see an ad for it the next day. And, or I'll see something on it, I'll see that thing on the street. So it's almost like the universe is giving this circular loop of information to me. And this happened with the locusts, with these bees in this parking lot, because we're looking outside of our windows from our office and literally 10,000 bees are swarming in the parking lot. And we're like, WTF is what's going on here? Is this the beginning of Exodus? Right? Is a locust coming? Is the great flood about to happen? Because if that's the case, I'm going to find a woman and my partner, we're going to reproduce. We're going to reproduce on this boat to purge the earth and repopulate the planet. Because I did not know what this came from. Because if bees are going to find a new home, you'd think they want to get outside of the city. You'd think they want to get into maybe even the river valley, right? There's a huge kind of green space there where they can do their thizzang. But in the middle of the concrete jungle just kind of struck me as a bit odd. The reason I'm saying that circular storytelling with regards to hearing something and seeing it the day or two later was because I was watching that Planet Earth documentary on Netflix that just came out, and they had a segment in there about bees and how when they're ready to move nests or hives, they'll send out a scout. It's actually called the scout. And this bee will just be designated and tasked with finding a new tree that fits certain criteria for the new hive. Or for the hive to kind of move their queen and start doing their thing in the new tree. So apparently they found this tree on 124th Street and said, this is the new hive. And literally 10,000 of them start swarming in this parking lot, find the tree, and somehow they all communicate. And it's amazing. There's 10,000 of them in maybe the space of a 10 by 10 box swarming. And they're not hitting each other. Like, isn't that amazing? How is that possible? They're all speeding. Like, they're all going pretty quick speeds. I don't know how fast, but definitely like fast enough to not be able to see it. It's a bit of a blur. How do they not crash into each other constantly? Anyways, they found this branch and they must have transported the queen over there. And you're going to see it. If you go to my Instagram and look at the post for this podcast, you'll see literally what I'm talking about. It looked wild. I've never seen bees swarm and make a nest like that on the spot. Like I said, we first thought they were wasps. But there would be people walking, because this is a pretty traversed city street. There'd be people walking underneath this swarm, not noticing it. And that's just another commentary about people are so dived in on their phones. There could be a swarm of deadly wasps or bees or serpents or whatever. Serpents, dragons. And they wouldn't even notice it because they're on TikTok and TikToking and emails and Instagram. Like, don't get me wrong, I look at my phone when I walk down the street, but if I was to hear, you would definitely hear 10,000 bees above your head. Or at least I'd think, I would hope to God you would hear that. Otherwise, it's Darwinism and you might deserve what's coming to you, you know? But anyways, these people were walking underneath these big swarms of bees, and the bees weren't attacking them, or the wasps weren't attacking them. They were just kind of they weren't aggressive. So they were definitely coordinating or communicating, and it's one of those mysteries in nature that's very fascinating to me. Later that night with the bees, go on a scooter tour after a little food, wine and dining, little launch party, little gala at a new restaurant in town called Epic. It was really cool. One of our business partners there downtown doing their thing. Brought a few guests, did a little soiree, a little nibble, little sipskis, and then we went down to Yegg Scoot to do a scooter tour. And we were just scooting around Edmonton and go up this hill, and we see in the midst of this guy getting on one knee, we scoot past. And we scoot past to the point where a few people on the scooters, so this is like an urban tour, right? They take you around to different spots and really cool viewings of the city and stuff. So we were going up to this viewing, and I think a bunch of people, you know how they have with these proposals, the guy will have his buddy hide in the bush with a camera. Apparently, when he went on one knee and his buddy was hiding in the camera, jumped out to take the picture, a few people scooted right by the picture. So when they have the proposals, well, they got other ones, but when they check these pictures out later, they're going to find that it's a bunch of people on scooters. And they're not going to see the lovebirds kind of consummating the proposal. But we thought that was kind of cool. You know, it's not every day you see somebody getting engaged. So that was kind of cool. Oh, yeah. Speaking of saying things or seeing things and it coming back into your purview a few days later. But it's stories like this that make me wonder if perhaps I'm right. So I've been telling a few people lately that my grandma, who's 90, is, you know, she's doing good, all things considered, but, you know, she could be doing better. I'll leave it at that. And I told a few friends who are close to me about that. And all of a sudden last week, my mom calls me in the middle of the day and she goes, Akeem, did you call grandma asking for money? And I go, what? She goes, yeah, you called her asking for money. Why would you do that? I was like, I didn't call her. And then we both went, oh shit. And I immediately, my heart sank, because I was like, wait a second. I've been telling people that she wasn't doing great, right? Well, she's doing okay, but like, who got that information? And I only told a handful, maybe not even a handful. I told like two or three people that. And those people I trust, and I know they didn't say anything. So that means that either the computer is listening to me, the phone is listening to me, or maybe they said something to someone that got out. Either way, some scammer was able to track down my grandmother, pretend to be me, and then ask for money. And my grandma was able to fish it out and be like, you're not Akeem. But I think she was considering it for a second. Isn't that the scariest shit? Where are we going, man? That is wild. That's just sick on another level. And it made me think about scamming scammers, because I actually got a call the day before, day after, or something like that. This person pretending to be a TELUS rep, and she sounded legit. Sounded like, hey, this is TELUS. It said TELUS when on the caller ID. And they say, you live at Crawford Block. And this is what's getting creepy. These scammers are starting to have personal information on us, because they have my email. They knew my name. They knew where I lived. But they couldn't give me the exact address of my unit. And they didn't know what my last name was. So I was like, what's my last name? And they said, that's something you have to confirm. I was like, that's not how this goes. And I said, what's the address of my unit? And as soon as I knew they were scamming me, I was like, okay, you know what? Fuck these guys. I'm going to waste their time, because they're obviously working all day trying to scam people. So if I can take away half an hour of their time by just kind of half being on the phone, just carrying on a conversation, then I'm at least protecting somebody else from, they can't spend as much energy on somebody else scamming somebody else. And I wish I could reverse hack these assholes. But anyways, so she would just, and I'd be like, oh, you know what? Actually, what was the name of that box that I had? And I'd ask them stupid questions like that. And then I would just drag it on with stupid stories. And I'd tell them stories about my day and how I got to work. And I could tell the lady was getting frustrated and angry. She's like, well, sir, can we get back? And I'd be like, well, did you understand? Did you know that today was like the summer, blah, blah, blah? And I could tell, and then probably like 25 minutes into the call, she just dropped it. But isn't that crazy that these kind of people are out there? Wild. So scam the scammers, folks. My stepdad used to actually get a blowhorn. This is when I was growing up. I'll never forget this. When they used to call our landline at the house, my stepdad's RCMP, so he's a badass motherfucker. But he would be like, oh, wait a second, hold on a second. And he'd just grab the phone, take it outside, put his headphones on, be like, why is he getting his headphones on? And then he'd hit the blow horn and be like, you still there? And they'd be like, yeah. And then he'd just right into the freaking speaker. Probably blew their ear sockets out. And good, you know, you're calling people trying to scam them out of their hard-earned money. You deserve that. Later that night, we're just standing on the streets, having just shooting the shit. And it made me think about, like, man, why don't we stand on the streets more? You know, just shoot the shit. It's something to do, right? It's like what they do in the inner city or in the hood. Like when I was growing up in Westboro. Feels like something to do, right? Just standing on the corner, feeling up a vibe. You know, maybe a little toke, a little blunt, whatever. A little Trudeau. And not Trudeau, like, you know, he's true to the dough. And by dough, I mean marijuana. Anyways, you're just, you know, standing on the corner, a few of us smoking blunts, like just, that was kind of like, I felt like 3-6 Mafia. Then we got into the conversation about how do grown men make friends, right? I have maybe one or two new guy friends that I've made over the last year, which is kind of weird to say out loud, right? Like, if you are going out there as a man, I'm speaking from a man's perspective, how do you go about the business of making new friends, right? If you're above the age of 18, maybe no, above the age of 25, because you can still make friends in university pretty easily. I think the point here is when you're growing up, school really facilitates the friend-making process because you're going to class, you're spending a lot of time with people, you have shared experience. But after school, you have a job, then you probably have a partner, you have a relationship, you have a home life, and you have your old friends. So where do you meet people? Well, you meet people doing the things that you like and the things you go out and enjoy. But then if you have somebody, you might be like, hey, this guy could be a buddy of mine. You know, I feel like we vibe, we get along well. We should escalate this from badminton or basketball or festivals to like, hey, like, let's go get a beer one night. And it's kind of weird because you're like, wait, this is kind of weird. Like, I'm not asking this guy out. I'm straight and he's straight, but like, I want to be his buddy. So it's kind of like you have to date. It's weird, isn't it? Like, you don't really think about that, right? And the last example I have is actually a guy I'm going to talk about here in a second. His name is Josh. He's actually a really successful realtor and home builder here in the city. I met him through friends of a friend, but we weren't like buddies. But one day I hit him up. I was like, yo, like, you know, he was always liking my stuff on social media, but I'd never hung out with him one-on-one. It was always in a group context to our mutual friends. But one day I was just like, you know what? I think I want to be this guy's friend. So I hit him up and I was like, hey man, like, do you want to grab dinner one night? And I think that PF Chang's just opened up. I was like, hey, let's go to PF Chang's, grab some chicken wings. And it didn't feel weird because, well, maybe I can't remember, but it's just one of those things where I'm like, oh, this could be a potential new buddy of mine, like a new friend of mine who I let in my inner circle. You know, assuming that we can kind of both check off each other's boxes of like what we accept as a friend, right? You still have to vet your friends. But if you see the kindlings of a friendship there, you kind of have to make the first move. You kind of have to be a friend you got to be a friend to have a friend. I don't know if I'm explaining this right, but anyways, we went off for PF Chang's and the rest is history. So now fast forward a year, we're hanging out, we're talking business. We're both in real estate. So we have a lot of things in common. And he's become one of my better buddies, you know, like we just get along really well. And last week I went out to some of his projects on the southwest part of town. And Edmonton's cool because it's growing, it's densifying, and it's sprawling out. So people in real estate, they kind of have a lot of options despite the interest rate problem that's going on. There seems to be a lot of activity with the new home building going on in the city. So you have a lot of like cool new homes going on the south side, northwest side, in, you know, St. Albert, Beaumont, Sherwood Park. And then you also have these kind of nodes in the city like Garneau, Strathcona, 124th Street, Oliver, that have all these multifamily projects planned. And it's cool to see guys like my buddy Josh, who I went on a man date with. It's like that movie, I love you, man, when they become buddies. Went on a mandate. That's what I'll call that. Oh, wait, is that where the word comes from? Mandate? My buddy Josh, he showed me some of the projects. So he's interesting because he works for the home builder. I believe he's a superintendent, but he's also a realtor. and he sells the homes that he helps build. Because he directs and he coordinates all the trades and he picks the finishes for all the homes. And then he goes in there and he can sell the house. So it's actually like the best of both worlds. I don't think a lot of realtors have that skill set, right? They don't understand the construction as well as someone who's actually building the home, unless they've been doing it forever. But yeah, check out my buddy Josh. He'll go on my Instagram and go to this post and you'll see him on one of the pictures. And you'll find him tagged and hit him up if you need a house in Edmonton. He'll hook you up. He's with Rimrock and he builds what Gil built. That guy's my boy. My buddy Brendan Belliveau was in town. He was on the podcast maybe 6-7 episodes ago and from San Francisco. He had a wedding. I had a wedding. I'll touch on that in a second. But we also went on that scooter tour and then we went to go see Mission Impossible 8. My boy Tom Cruise hitting the box office, saving Hollywood single-handedly because Hollywood is just a dumpster fire right now. Every movie flops. None of the movies make money. They're all rehashed, kind of unoriginal movies. And in comes Tom Cruise for the second summer in a row with a blockbuster stunner. Last year was Maverick, Top Gun. This year it is Mission Impossible 8 Dead Reckoning. I 100% recommend you check out this movie. This movie was fantastic from beginning to end. It was a bit long, but that was about it. Outside of that, it's fantastic. For a summer blockbuster, it's like everything you want. This guy's in his 60s, and he did some crazy ass stunts. Like everyone talked about Jackie Chan doing stunts. Jackie Chan was doing stunts when he was in his 30s and 40s. Tom Cruise is in his 60s, and he's still ripped, yoked. And I know he's rich, and he's Scientologist, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's got his faults with him. But you can't knock the guy for putting out a great product, which is entertaining cinema that doesn't want to be offensive or political or any of these things. It just seeks to entertain you. There are some scenes in this movie where my butt cheeks were clenched. And they were clenched so hard that a little fart almost came out. It was crazy. So anyways, I highly recommend you go see that movie. That movie is insane. I'm going to go see it again. But yeah, I think Brennan and I liked it a little bit more than some other movies we've seen this year. When I was at the theater, I was kind of blown away because I'm starting to notice this trend with my budget that I've reenacted a cash budget for the first time since I was like 25, 26, because I just noticed I wasn't really keeping track of how I was spending my money. It's the old philosophy with the casinos, right? Where if you use chips, like chips at the casino, it doesn't hurt as much as if we use cash. Because back in the Bellagio and the Pink Flamingo days in the 50s, 40s, 30s, they used to have, like, you just brought cash to the casino and that's how you made your bets. But the only thing was the casinos weren't making as much money because it hurt a lot to gamble with cash. So people weren't making as big as bets because the psychology of handing over cash is just different, right? Like if you got two 50s in your hand or $100 bills or two or five 20s, if you're placing a bet with that cash and that cash is leaving your hand, you may never see it again. You're less likely to do that bet than if it's just coins. Or chips, right? And that's the same psychology with the card, with the Visa card, the debit card. That's the equivalent of chips at a casino. It does not hurt to make a purchase just tapping it on the Interact machine with your debit card or your Visa card because it's plastic. It's not real. But cash, whew, something hurts about cash. So I started going back to the cash. And I just started paying everything in my life, haircuts, doesn't matter, McDonald's, movie theater popcorn, movie theater tickets. And last night I was at the movie theater trying to buy popcorn and my ticket, and they didn't accept cash. They didn't accept cash at the front counter. They didn't accept cash when I was trying to buy the popcorn. Then today I went to try to buy coffee. They didn't accept cash at the cafe. And I said, what? They said, oh yeah, we can't break a 50. And I said, okay. I went to the gym at Kingsman to work out, and they couldn't cash a 50 either. So I've just been tapping my card around town. So I have to use smaller bills or I can't use cash at all. I'm not sure if anybody else has noticed that, but they don't respect the baller status, apparently. Fun fact that I learned here, just to kind of wrap up my personal stories, is if you want to cool your body, I've been listening to this really cool podcast about deliberate cold exposure by Andrew Huberman, which, by the way, fantastic scientist and fantastic podcast just regards to health, right? Health, wealth, happiness. He's got the health down part, like down like freaking nobody's business. But he said that, you know, when people are hot and they want to cool down, the first thing they do is they wrap their neck or their head with a cold towel or something like that, or their back. He said that actually heats you up. If you want a cold, if you want to chill down, what you want to do is take that cold compress or whatever cold thing you want on your skin and put it on the top of your hand, the top of your face, or the bottom of your feet. Those areas have specific capillaries or skin sensitivities that actually cool your body down as opposed to heat it up. So, fun fact of the day, not sure if that's what relevant or fun for you, but I got onto Andrew Huberman after my wedding I went to this week, that I ended up doing a lot of shots and getting drunk. And when I was hungover, I like to learn about why not to be hungover and what causes hangovers, and landed on Andrew Huberman. So that was fun. First Chinese wedding I've ever been to. So it was fun. I was listening to the MCs, and they would say something and they would say it again in Mandarin. And all of the, they have their own ways of drinking. Like they'll go at the bar and be like, "Oh yeah!" Like 15 or 20 of them screaming that, and it was cool. I love different cultures. You know, it's awesome to experience it if you don't experience it every day. So Mandarin wedding checklist, check it off the box. Now I have to go to an East Indian wedding because I heard those are lit. So if anybody out there is East Indian or knows an East Indian wedding, or you're an East Indian friend of mine, please don't forget about your boy when you're about to have that wedding. But anyways, I'm a little bit long in the tooth here. This is just my Summer and Berta variety show. I hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, I'll catch you on the flip side. Peace.